Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 200, and my name, of course, is Derek Gallimore. So today I am joined by Glenn Dimandal of GDI. This is a SEO web optimization agency here in the Philippines. And full disclosure, we do actually use him ourselves at Outsource Accelerator. So I can certainly vouch for him and his company. But we explore the opportunities of not only outsourcing your staffing, but outsourcing to the Philippines for your agency solutions as well. So I had a really good chat with Glenn, and we dip into sort of SEO and website optimization a little bit here, which we don't normally talk about on this podcast. So it was certainly a nice change. So enjoy the podcast. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/200. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Glenn Dimandal of GDI. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. And so, full disclosure, Glenn actually, we work together. Glenn is in charge, or certainly advises in terms of the SEO and web development for Outsource Accelerator. You know, I really back what GDI do and Glenn himself. But this isn't an infomercial. This is all about basically exploring the world of SEO and web optimization, which is so important for everyone now. And then within a context of outsourcing and getting it done, or considering getting it done in the Philippines as opposed to potentially more expensive and potentially less effective home markets. So yeah, great to have you on board, Glenn. And I suppose initially you're far better at doing it yourself, but do you want to give a brief introduction to yourself?
Sure. Well, my name is Glenn Dimandal. I have been working in the SEO industry for 10 years now. I started in August of 2008. I worked the majority of my career in Fortune 500 companies, the most recent being a company called Emerson Electric. So I worked a few years in the U.S., and I decided to come back to the Philippines because of the good outsourcing opportunities over here, especially as far as digital marketing is concerned. So 5 years ago, we started our agency, and 3 years ago, I quit my job totally and went full on with my company, and here we are. Right now, the company has about 60 clients. I mean, it's taking care of 60 websites for about 20 clients. So it's been growing so far, and we hope to sustain that growth in the coming years.
Fantastic, fantastic. And so, you know, I try and suggest to everyone that they outsource, and there's roles that are very commonly outsourced within a business, like accounting, and very commonly SEO and things like that. But it's still quite rare for people to consider really looking further afield into the Philippines, because it's, you know, as you probably realize when you're in the US, it's SEO web management is probably one of the most kind of online, remote working friendly jobs in the world, isn't it? Like, you know, websites are everywhere and they can be managed from anywhere. So it's certainly an advantage. Do you work with what is the sort of distribution of local clients versus international clients for you?
Initially it was 100% US, because we got into this just because my former colleagues in the US were sending me smaller tasks, which grew and grew. So initially it was 100%, but the local market has awakened in the past 2 years. So now it's a 70-30% split. So 70% US and UK, and then 30% would be the Philippines and a few other Asian countries.
Right, right. And how do you see the kind of web development thing going? Are there any differences between the Philippines and the US or the West? It's probably the most agnostic kind of sector, isn't it, in that everything is standardized, because it's basically everything kind of conforms with Google requirements, basically, yeah?
That is correct. I believe the trajectory that both countries are following is pretty much the same, wherein, you know, the bigger companies kind of blaze the trail in terms of owning your website, establishing a digital presence. But the smaller companies tend to see that value later on, and then they follow suit. It happened in the U.S. 10, 20 years ago, and it's happening all over the Asia-Pacific region right now, wherein initially it was just the blue-chip type of companies in the Philippines doing digital marketing. And now, even in my hometown, which is outside of Metro Manila, the local service providers are getting into the action. So we're getting there slowly but surely.
Right, because, you know, obviously building a website is one thing, and that's becoming easier and easier now. You can literally have a website up within an hour. But the actual key to it is optimizing it so that it gets noticed, so that it gets traffic. Yeah. How do you compare the two markets, like the US versus Philippines with that? And is there really, you know, are people kind of buying online in the Philippines yet? Are they searching online, or is it more sort of a door-to-door function in the Philippines?
Great question. In the US, I think we're more or less familiar, so I wouldn't really focus on it that much. But in the Philippines, as I said, it's following the same trajectory. So like websites like Lazada would be your local Amazon here. Credit card penetration in the Philippines isn't like as universal as it is in the US and other Western countries, but we kind of worked around it in the same way that the Chinese market did, whereas the Chinese don't use credit cards so much, but they use a lot of, you know, transactions via their smartphones. In the Philippines, it's not so much the smartphones, but we do like paying, you know, cash on delivery. But, you know, the credit card penetration here is increasing, plus mobile transactions are popping up left and right, plus, you know, logistics companies have been getting started in the country. So the future looks bright in terms of e-commerce. And in terms of uptake, as far as the, you know, not the consumers, but the business owners are concerned, everyone wants to get into it. What we see happening right now is that most businesses kind of tend to start with Facebook, because Facebook is massive here. And people think establishing yourself in a Facebook page might be helpful. But quickly, they tend to realize that it's really not enough. You need a formal business presence on the internet in order to look trustworthy. So that's when they tend to realize a few months into it that they really need a website. And that's when, you know, guys like us tend to get approached by the local business people.
Right. And is that a standard thing across the world? Like, Facebook penetration here is massive, isn't it? Essentially the seventh biggest market for Facebook is the Philippines. Like, everyone is on Facebook, which is fantastic. But then I think Facebook is also trying to corner the market, and basically, you know, the businesses start on Facebook. But as you say, there's probably a maturation curve where people go, okay, now we're ready to kind of professionalize and go online. But in terms of Western businesses, do you see that they are any further ahead? Because sure, if you're an e-commerce company, of course, you've got a website and you're online. But what do you think about hairdressers, about plumbers, about a bar or restaurant? Do they really need to be online?
They have to be online at least to, you know, at the very least at a small degree. Like, if you're a barber or a plumber and you don't necessarily have the money to put up a website, you can consider starting a bit smaller. For most of the people here, if you're, you know, a service provider, you can probably afford about $500, $600 worth of, you know, web development work to have a very basic website going on. The problem I see with local practitioners is that they, aside from the funding problem, they have a management problem. And what I mean by that is that once they get the website, they really don't have the bandwidth and the patience to learn the back end of the website to really manage it and, you know, take the leads. So that's kind of the bottleneck that I see among locals. So in that case, if you're part of that camp which doesn't have the time to manage and is hesitating to put out the initial investment for things like web development and SEO, you should at least get on Google My Business. It doesn't really you know, require you to have your own website. You can just do your listing and start appearing in local searches for, say, if you live in San Fernando, like I do. If someone's looking for an accountant in San Fernando, if you just have your Google My Business listing, which takes 5 minutes to set up, you stand a good chance of appearing in the local map pack and getting some leads. Whereas if you don't do anything, then other people are going to take those leads for you. So that's kind of how it works.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, people the world over, like, because if you're in the internet game, then there's kind of a high level of appreciation. But a lot of these other industries, they kind of just see the website as a necessary evil and then probably don't realize quite how much ongoing work there is in terms of optimizing it, getting it ranked, and then kind of
that it.
You know, getting the information out the back end, yeah, like the leads and things like that. What were you going to say?
Yeah, that is super true. And now that you bring it up, like, you know, it's some kind of necessary evil. I just had this experience this week wherein I kind of got some ideas on how to flip the system on its head. Because as I said, people kind of hesitate to put out that initial funding and they don't have the time to manage it. Like just this week, a group of engineers approached me and they want a website, but they're proposing that they don't have the time or money to, you know, to allocate into this. And instead of paying me like upfront with service charges, what these guys want is for us to develop their websites for free and optimize it. But we would tend to, you know, make money on a commission basis. So maybe there's an opportunity in Asian markets like the Philippines for someone with enough resources to like put out that kind of service, make it free for these service providers who are kind of hesitating to get into the act, and then change the business model. Instead of collecting retainers, you might collect commissions if you can make it work, you know, tracking wise from a technology standpoint. I can see that working for you. So
yeah, that's like an idea. Like a sort of a lead gen arrangement, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. And just to put it in the US and Philippine context, I have a client over in Texas who's been doing it for years. So basically, all the remodelers and home repair people and pest control people, he just built websites for these guys, and every lead that he gets, he funnels into them, and then he charges them for it. So he kind of cornered the entire Dallas, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth market in terms of these home services. So that's one possible way to do it in the Philippines if you want to open up the market.
Wow. And he effectively just has a templated approach. Are they very personalized, or are they all very similar websites with a different name?
I would say that it's very templated. And just for context, this has been my longest tenured client. They've been with me since October 2013. We've been working together for 5 years. All we do for these guys is content, just because they have their own custom CMS that just churns out templated websites for all these guys. So yeah.
Wow, fascinating. And then, so, you know, websites are getting easier to build, and a lot of this, everyone says that kind of content is free, social media is free. In sort of essence, SEO is free, but actually it takes a huge amount of time. Yeah. And what are your thoughts and insights in terms of, is this whole thing getting harder and harder? Is it getting harder to rank in the ranks because there are just so many people trying to hack the system, trying to optimize their websites? And of course, there's more and more websites coming online. In your 10 years of practice, how have you seen things change and evolve?
Well, the answer to that would be a yes and a no, because as you mentioned in the first part of your statement, there is such a thing as free content, and there is such a thing as free websites, free website builders, and then free SEO. But the fact of the matter remains that SEO isn't like web design, wherein you do it and then it's finished and then you leave it forever. SEO is not a project. SEO is an ongoing competition. It's not like hiring an engineer to, you know, build you a house, and then once he's done with it, your relationship is over. SEO is more like hiring a lawyer to kind of make your case and make you win in court. So the results are not always guaranteed. The only thing that your lawyer guarantees is he'll compete with you in the, you know, court of law. The same thing with your SEO specialist. The only thing he can do is put out that work and then see what happens in the search results. So on that note, you can always take the free route, but what would separate you from everyone else in the field, right? You'll just be one of the, you know, mediocre websites out there, and that's not the way to rank. If you really want to rank, you'll still have to do the investment in content, still have to do your due diligence in finding the right SEO specialist for you. Because at the end of the day, ranking high on Google is all about standing out. And how can you stand out if you're using resources that are free to everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really like your analogy of the lawyer in the court. That's amazing. And then, so, you know, if people are... Look, everyone really needs a website, and everyone really needs to have, as you say, like the SEO assistance and the strategy behind it. Is there any advantage, do you think, to having a local SEO, whatever, development agency versus overseas? Or do you see this as a kind of completely internationalized industry now?
Well, having worked in the US, I've been the person hiring agencies both in the Philippines and in the US. And I can say that it can totally work. Having a local SEO, if you're in the US, can totally work if you have a close enough relationship with the agency that you pick up the phone, someone answers, or you can go to their office and have, you know, frequent brainstorming sessions. But if you're like our company at the time, which was based in Huntsville, Alabama, and then we hired a Los Angeles-based SEO agency, communication wasn't, you know, that great and that smooth either. So we would have been better off hiring someone in the Philippines, because at the time that agency was charging us $5,000 a month for, pardon my French, that was pretty shitty services that they were, you know, giving us. It was super basic, like hardly any technical SEO. They were giving us 4 articles a month. They were sending us 10 links per month that weren't even like guest posts or from press releases. They were just blog comments on blogs that were remotely related to our industry. So our suspicion was that these guys weren't even doing the SEO themselves. They might have an office in LA, but there could have been someone really lazy on the other side of the world doing the work anyway for them. So it would have been better for us to cut the middleman, since, you know, that was essentially the work that we were getting anyway. So that's exactly what we did. $5,000 of SEO, we cut that down to $2,000, and we were able to hire one of the better agencies here in the Philippines. And that paid dividends for us, as opposed to, you know, hanging out with those guys for $5,000 a month for almost 2 years and little to show for. So you get the idea.
Yeah. That is an incredible illustration, isn't it? There's huge value to be had there. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Glenn. I want to get you back, and we can deep dive into GDI and, you know, exactly what you guys do and where the value is. But if anyone wants to get in touch with you in the meantime, how can they do that?
They can just find us on Google. So you can just Google GDI Online Marketing. Or you can Google glendemands.com. So it's a kind of a play on my name, but, you know, a little bit friendlier to non-Filipinos. So G-L-E-N and then demands.com. So pretty easy to remember.
Fantastic. And, of course, we'll have all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, that was Glenn Demandal of GDI. If you want to get in touch with Glenn or know any more about GDI, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/200. And if you want to get in touch with us, then just drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.